Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, October 15, 2015. An opposition leader files a legal complaint against President Kiir's order to create new states. I'm afraid we're having a technical problem here, but we will move on with the stories we have. And South Sudanese Political Parties Council begins registration. We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A long-time South Sudan opposition leader, Lamar Col, and an alliance of 18 political parties today filed a legal petition seeking a halt to President Kiir's order to expand the number of states in the country from 10 to 28. The petition calls on the highest court in the land to nullify President Kiir's order. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from the capital. We apologize for some technical problems here in the studio, but we are working to resolve those problems. We go back to our first story. Longtime South Sudan's opposition leader, Lamar Col, and an alliance of 18 political parties today filed a legal petition seeking halt to President Kiir's order to expand the number of states in the country from 10 to 28. The petition calls on the highest court in the land to nullify President's order. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu reports from Juba.
Col says he filed the petition because he believes President Kiir's order violates South Sudan's constitution and a six-week-old peace deal.
As you know, that our people are yearning for peace, so nobody should tamper with this peace agreement that has been negotiated very delicately for the last 21 months. The constitution also is a document that guarantees the rule of law in this country, and therefore it should guide all the actions of people and institutions of government. Therefore, if there is any matter that does not conform to the constitution, the only authority that can decide that is the court.
Under the terms of Kiir's order, it will take effect at the beginning of next month, 30 days after it was issued by the president. Col says implementing the order and reconfiguring South Sudan's internal boundaries would stall development and the peace process in the country.
We are raising issues connected with the violation of the constitution, which articles of the constitution the order violated. We are also raising the provisions of the peace agreement that has been also infringed with. And we are also raising the legal basis of the order itself, and we are also pointing out that the order in the way it is had usurped the powers of the parliament.
A call cautioned against using the constitution to promote a personal agenda.
We want to caution our people that let us not be selective in applying the constitution. Somebody today is happy when a constitution is violated because he or she thinks is addressing his or her problem. But tomorrow, if the constitution also is violated in relation to an issue that you don't like, again, you cannot also afford to be unhappy. So you must have the same standard. Let us all act within the constitution. It is actually the glue that keeps us together.
Akol says the political parties he has allied with to bring the petition against the president are demanding that the Constitutional Court annul the order. South Sudanese lawyer Ajoh Noel says Akol is well within his rights to question the president's order. Noel says by bringing his complaint about the presidential order before the court, Akol is showing confidence in the system in South Sudan.
That's why he has gone to court. And this is very good for the country and very good for the government, too. It means that he has taken the civil way of doing things. That, you know what? If I'm not satisfied with something, I go to court for redress. And that's a very right thing to do. And it is right as well as the citizen. So I'm challenging the decision that the government has taken that does not go well with the constitution of the country. And through this, we will be able to shape and encourage the rule of law in the society that we live in.
If the Constitutional Court decides in favor of Akol and his fellow petitioners, it would not be the first time that the judges would have ruled against the government, Noel says.
The treason case concerning the four or SPLA political or political leaders, the one against, I mean, again, the one against Agan, Wedding Ajak, Ezekiel Lul, and the treason case that was concluded. I mean, the government at the end withdrew the case. So that means that the accused were successful. And that case, the Kalama called before took the case to the Constitutional Court. It was on the elections.
The court eventually dismissed the Akol's case seeking to bar the government from holding elections in June after the elections were suspended by the government. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
Lawmakers representing the Shilluk Kingdom in Upper Nile State are also against President Kiir's order to redraw South Sudan's internal boundaries. Six opposition MPs released a statement in Juba today saying the creation of new states will rob them of their ancestral lands. They are calling on Mr. Kiir to suspend the order and focus instead on implementing the peace deal that he and rebel leader Riek Machar signed in August. For VOA News, Philip Thornaleu reports from Juba.
The minority leader in South Sudan's parliament, Onyoti Adigo, who is himself a Shilluk, read out the lawmaker's statement.
The present map being circulated now is problematic politically, administratively, and socially to the people of the Shilluk Kingdom and even to all the people of the present Upper Nile State. For example, all the Shilluk land on the eastern part of the Nile emerged with the newly created Eastern Nile State without mentioning their counties of Feshoda, Manyo, Makal and Penyekang to be part of the new state.
Adigo, who represents Upper Niles, Pachoda and Manyo counties in the National Assembly, says the main concern of the lawmakers is the ancestral land of the Shilluk people. He says the order that President Kiir issued on October 2nd redraws the borders of his constituency and even moves his village from one state to another. Adigo says the boundaries of the counties he represents have existed since Sudan gained independence from Britain in 1956. Reading from the statement prepared with other Shilluk lawmakers, Adigo says President Kiir's order is making it more difficult to achieve peace and unity in South Sudan.
The songs of the unity and coexistence is being sung, and the slogan of one people, one nation is spread all over, but are only political, not from the bottom of the hearts of the people. By the presidential order, the part of the country will not be in peace. The broken social fabric among our communities will remain stained and widened.
The lawmakers say in their statement that the order is undemocratic and violates the South Sudan Constitution and the peace agreement Mr. Kiir signed in August.
The presidential order 10, para 1, provides that this order shall not be amended save by another order by the president. These powers or these provisions amount to dictatorship and the violation of the constitution and the agreement.
The lawmakers are calling on Mr. Kiir to suspend the order, which is due to take effect on November 2nd, and instead focus on implementing the peace agreement. In response to a question from a reporter, Adigo said South Sudanese have a choice to make.
Let's be frank. and we choose either you want 28 states or you want peace. Which one do you need? Do you need 28 states without peace, or do you need peace so that you make 28 states?
Adigo says if the president does not suspend the order, opposition lawmakers will take the government to court. Adigo says anyone who violates the constitution must face the consequences. And he insists that redrawing South Sudan's borders and changing the names of the state is a violation of the constitution. President Kiir's cabinet approved the order on Tuesday. A bill to amend the country's transitional constitution is expected to be brought before parliament in the coming days. Adigo says if that happens, he will reject the bill. For VOA News, I am Philip Donaleo in Juba.
South Sudan's Political Parties Council is for the first time registering all parties in the country. Former Justice Minister John Luke says the exercise does not violate South Sudan's transitional constitution or the IGAD plus brokered peace deal signed in Addis Ababa. Luke says the registration process is happening at a difficult time when the two warring parties are still fighting each other in Unity and Upper Nile states. He also says prolonged dispute within the ruling SPLM party has delayed the registration of other political parties in the country.
The parties were not ready, actually, to immediately embark on the registration because the Political Parties Council did not take office for a very, very long time. And I think it was deliberately delayed not to take its office.
Was there any reason why the council was delayed from taking office?
I think even the SPLM itself, which is the largest party, was not ready to start immediate registration within 90 days. Because by then even the SPLM wanted to hold first its own party conference. And also by then it had reviewed its basic documents and wanted to call to take those basic documents, the constitution, the basic rules and disciplinary rules were then to be taken to the NLC and then to the National Convention to be passed, which of course became controversial. It was also controversial within the party, and which led to the crisis within the party. And being the ruling party, I guess they deliberately delayed that so that Arteria stopped out its own house. But then came also the crisis, and this added also more problems into that, and I think this was the cause of the delay.
And talking about this current registration now, my understanding from this explanation you're giving me is that even what is going on right now is not according to the laws of the Political Act.
Well, it would be according to it now because the Political Party Council is now activated and they took oath, I think, some time back. It is now the 90 days run, if they follow strictly the law, that the 90 days run from the day in which the Political Parties Council took their office. And then you count the 90 days. And all parties, the old ones and the new ones that you want to register, then would be required to register themselves within the 90 days. I think the question would be whether it is possible now, given the current situation in South Sudan.
When this peace agreement was signed in Addis Ababa on August 17, Pagan Amum signed on behalf of the SPLM leaders, what is popularly known as former political detainees. And Dr. Riek Machar signed on behalf of SPLM in opposition. In the eyes of South Sudanese, these two look like different entities. There is registration going on right now. Pagan said he is not going back to Juba. Riek Machar is still out of the country. How is this going to impact on the peace agreement?
As far as we are concerned, the former detainees, we are not a political party. We are still part and parcel of the SPLM. Even the very fact that there are three groups, it is just mentioned there that because of the process that was undertaken by IGAD, we do not intend to be a different party. We are part of and parcel of the SPLM. I cannot speak for the IOs, I don't know what they intend to do.
A lot of lawyers are arguing that there are certain conditions that political parties must meet first before they come for registration. And you even told me that one condition is that they have to have membership, 500 people from each state and at least from 8 of the 10 states. Now that some of these parties are not able to carry out this exercise, which is a precondition for registration, that means the exercise should be declared null and void. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that, but I can recognize that the requirement is so harsh. As I said before, if a party or a prospective a group that wants to register as a party would raise 4,000 from 8 states, I think it's so difficult given our current circumstances. And as I mentioned, the original draft which I presented myself to Parliament, the requirement was just 500 members, which we thought was reasonable, and the party can easily raise it. That would really be so hard in terms of finances and how to put together all that group. But it was the Parliament that went and changed that and passed it as it is now, and it is legal. Nobody can say it is not legal.
That's John Luke, South Sudan's former Minister of Justice. Luke was detained along with other SPLM leaders for allegedly trying to stage a coup against President Kiir in 2013. Luke is now the spokesman for the SPLM former detainees who signed the peace deal on August 17 in Addis Ababa. He was speaking to me from Nairobi earlier today. You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, a leader of South Sudan's Council of Churches says the U.S. diaspora has a critical role to play in restoring peace in the country. That story right after this.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today.
Do you sing when you are doing house chores?
It's one of my favorite hobbies to do, is singing and listening to music. When I'm at home, sometimes, at home, even doing some chores or even staying in, I think, in the house, I do sing a lot. And I would love always to have music next to me.
I do too, but I use only my language, especially not even my language alone. As a South Sudanese, I use my community language and the song from my community when I'm doing anything and, even when I'm in stress.
Singing, I do, but I'm not good of that. But what I, at home, when I get annoyed, when I sing, but not all that much.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus. The head of South Sudan Council of Churches says churches and grassroots movement have a key role to play in restoring peace in South Sudan. Reverend Peter Guy is gathering support from the U.S. diaspora and officials for peace movements in South Sudan. My colleague Ayen Bior spoke with Guy when he stopped in Washington.
To restore peace and stability in South Sudan and reconciliation is not difficult, but all we want to see first is that we need to let the war stop, and then the rest will be taken care of by the churches to take reconciliation to the people in the level of grassroots as well as also in the higher level. In politicians in our country also will need to be told that we are one country, we are one people. So we need not to blame one another, but we want to learn that we forgive one another so that we come back to our life as South Sudanese.
The peace agreement outlines a committee for peace, reconciliation, and healing. Seven people of the committee. How do you see your group working with those seven people to bring peace to South Sudan?
I think the seven group people have done a lot in terms of bringing peace, and also the work they have done involve even teaching the members of South Sudanese to go to and be peace mobilizers, so that later on, when they are equipped to tell people about peace, that way gradually peace will come back because of that influence. So we hope that the committee is doing a good job. by training people to be peacemakers. That is a good way to accomplish the lasting peace and reconciliation among the South Sudanese.
And how should the church respond?
Well, the church will respond by preaching peace all the time in all its occasion, in Sunday and other meetings. We will avoid to make the blaming statements, and also trying to train people with hate and so on. So we need also to make sure that the church gather people again and come together, those who are already polarized, so that they may come back to their sin and become united again. And those who are traumatized must also be trained to come back to their sense, to understand, to forgive one another, so that people come back to South Sudanese without being identified along with their ethnic background. So people will call themselves, "I'm a South Sudanese, I'm a South Sudanese." One nation, one people. That should be the only way that will let the people come again and be identified because of their nationality as South Sudanese.
South Sudan's NGO Forum, a group of 300 local and international agencies, say they fear the humanitarian conditions will worsen after a recent flare-up in fighting in some parts of the country. Waki Simon Wood reports for VOA from Juba.
NGO Forum officials say, despite reiterating their commitment to respecting the permanent ceasefire as part of the peace deal signed by President Salva Kiir and Amti opposition leader Riek Machar, the two sides continue to fight in parts of Unity State. Lindsay Hamsik, a policy and advocacy advisor at the South Sudan NGO Forum, says stepped up in security in recent days has affected the work of 8 agencies, putting thousands of lives at risk.
Ongoing violence in South Sudan speaks to a continued deterioration in the humanitarian situation in the country. Aid agencies are calling for action to improve protection of civilians and urging all parties to the conflict to respect their commitments to ensuring that humanitarian assistance can reach the people in need where they need it most.
A recent NGO Forum report covering April through September estimates that at least 1,000 civilians were killed, 1,300 women and girls were raped, and 1,600 women and children were abducted in Lier, Mayendit, and Koch counties of Unity State. South Sudan in Focus has been unable to independently verify those claims. Hamsik says another survey the NGO Forum conducted in June found that the value of humanitarian goods and assets looted or lost due to conflict between January and June of this year totaled more than $3.5 million. It is said more than 1,500 working hours were lost in that the same time period because humanitarian activities had to be halted during the renewed fighting in Upper Nile and Unity States. Hamsik says 8 workers are frustrated.
The volatility in Southern Unity is such that it doesn't allow NGOs to currently be able to service those communities.
The International Rescue Committee, or IRC, says at least 250,000 people are in desperate need of humanitarian assistance in Southern and Central Unity State. Hamsik says the ongoing violence is concentrated in Southern Unity State, the same place where 2 aid agencies, the Norwegian Refugee Council and the IRC, announced this week they are withdrawing their personnel due to the stepped-up fighting. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
And finally, today is a Global Handwashing Day. The aim of this annual event is to raise awareness about how the simple act of washing your hands can prevent disease and save lives. In Western Bahr al-Ghazal State, thousands of children took that message to heart and into their soapy hands, as Dimo Silva Aurelio reports from WOW.
Metal buckets on welded stands are dotted around Kosi Girls' Primary School in Wau today. Each bucket is filled with water, and white pieces of soap sit next to them on one side. On the other side are plastic bags full of ash from burnt wood, which is known for its medical qualities. Officials in South Sudan encourage families who cannot afford soap to use ash instead when they wash their hands. Yeli Clement is a student at Kosi Primary School. As she takes her turn to wash her hands at one of the buckets, she says what she is doing will help to keep her safe from diseases such as cholera.
The Global Hand Washing Day teaches us to prevent ourselves at home and even at the school. Wash your hands after visiting pit latrine and before eating food.
Clement has heard the message of Global Hand Washing Day loud and clear. The theme of the day this year is Raise Up Clean Hands to Push Cholera Out of South Sudan. The children and adults who have come to Kosi Girls' School are told to wash their hands many times a day, but especially after using a toilet and before they eat. Many people in South Sudan tend to do it the other way around. They wash their hands with soap after they eat. James Ukelo is the Director General of the Western Baal Ghazal Ministry of Health. He says that somewhere in the world, a child dies of diarrhea every 30 minutes. He says good hygiene and the simple act of hand washing could help bring down that death toll.
We should be aware that cholera and other diseases like typhoid and hepatitis can be contracted through unclean hands. So hand washing is very important, and we should also get our children to cut their fingernails because this also reduces the risk of falling ill.
Soiki Ajak is the Water Sanitation and Hygiene Officer for UNICEF in Western Baal Ghazal. He says nearly 1,000 people in South Sudan over the last 3 months have died of cholera. He says this preventable disease were caused by poor sanitary conditions. Ajak says because children are at the greatest risk from diseases like cholera, their parents and teachers should teach the youngsters ways of preventing the disease like hand washing.
Washing one's hands should be a habit. If we teach our children this practice at an earlier age, we will spare them from diseases.
He says this preventable disease were caused by poor sanitary conditions. Ajak says because children are at the greatest risk from diseases like cholera, their parents and teachers should teach the youngsters ways of preventing the disease like hand washing. Regina Gabriel Gok is the health education officer in Wau. She says almost all diseases, 98% of them, are contracted through dirty hands. She says people who rush to eat without washing their hands properly are putting themselves at risk of disease.
We think our hands are clean, but we can't see the germs on them with the naked eye. There is enough soap available at the market, and we have free ash at home. We should slow down and wash our hands.
Around 3,000 people attended the event at Kosi Girls' School to mark Global Hand Washing Day. Schools that attended were given 2 boxes containing 25 bars of soap each to take back with them. The soap is supposed to be used to get the school's pupils to wash their hands on a regular basis, a simple gesture that will allow them to live healthier lives. For VOA, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio, reporting from Wau.
And that report by Dimo Silva Aurelio brings us to the end of our show for this Thursday. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Please remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.